Good morning from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. Welcome back to the second hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. I'm a horticulturist, landscape designer, garden author. I love geeking out at gardens and talking about gardens, and I love helping people with plants, and we have a wonderful show for you today. If you missed the first hour, you can go back into the podcast, betterlawns.com, on your iHeart app. Wherever you listen to podcasts, you'll be able to find the show. And so now we have, coming up, Dirty Word of the Day.
And now it's time for the Dirty Word of the Day on Better Lawns and Gardens with Teresa Watkins.
And the Dirty Word of the Day today is resistance. Plant disease resistance is crucial to the reliable production of food, and it provides significant reductions in agricultural use of land, water, fuel. Plants in both natural and cultivated populations carry inherent disease resistance, but this has not always protected them. Plant germs can spread rapidly over great distance, spread by water, wind, insects, and humans. Across large regions and many crop species, it is estimated that diseases typically reduce plant yields by 10% every year in more developed nations or agricultural systems, but yield loss to diseases over 20% in less developed countries. Scientific breeding for disease resistance originated with Sir Roland Biffen in the early 1900s, who identified a single recessive gene for resistance to wheat yellow rust. Nearly every crop was then bred to include disease resistance genes, many by a complex hybridization process from compatible wild relatives. Plant breeders emphasize selection and development of disease-resistant plant lines. Plant diseases can be controlled by use of pesticides and by cultivation practices such as crop rotation, tillage, planting density, disease-free seeds, and cleaning your equipment. But plant varieties with genetically determined disease resistance are generally preferred. So disease resistance is a reduction of germs on or in the plant, and that hence the reduction of the disease. Disease tolerance describes plants that exhibit little disease damage despite having substantial germ levels. Crops such as potatoes, apples, bananas, and sugarcane are often propagated by vegetation reproduction to preserve highly desirable plant traits because for these species, outcrossing seriously disrupts the preferred traits. So disease resistance is the dirty word of the day.
You know, that explains a lot. I didn't understand whenever I was buying plants that said disease resistance kind of on them. So.
They have been hybridized. They have been the healthier of the plant species. Mm-hmm. And so they keep breeding those, and it keeps the plant species free from disease.
Yes.
So that's what you want to look for on your seed packets or on your plant labels, that you want to see that they are disease resistant.
Yes, and I've also migrated more towards whenever I'm buying plants is to see if they're actually Florida thought process plants.
Providence.
My brain. There you go. Yeah,
Providence.
Yeah. Yes,
and so that's important because here in Florida, we have the plants. We have beautiful plants, lots of them. But we also have the disease, the pathogens, like citrus greening. And then we all have the vector or the insects that spread it, plus humidity. So we have the weather, we have the disease, and we have the plants that are susceptible to it. So we want to make sure that we are being very clean in our agricultural practices, in our landscape maintenance. And then also, too, that the plant is healthy, it's being watered correctly, it's being fertilized correctly, it has the strength to hand up. So resistance is the dirty word of the day. And so we have a lot of great text messages coming up. I'm going to be telling you how to take care of your Easter lily. If you have a gardening question, you can call us at the end of the half hour, 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. That will be great. Also, too, the newsletter is coming out. You can go to she-consulting.com, and you can you can sign up for our free newsletter. And so I'm going to be today out at Lowe's. We have Tina McIntyre coming up. She's got some great information coming up, and you'll want to stay tuned for that. Also, too, Lizzie, we have lots of gardening questions we can take at the bottom of the half hour.
Yes. So call us at around 8:30 and get on the board. So we only have a limited amount of time and a limited amount of space. So, yeah, get on the board.
So, Lizzie, I have a great text message. Our dear friend John Denver did not sing this morning. Can you explain why?
Okay, so in the world of radio and music, there's a thing called licensing. And yes, we have the license for iHeart to play music while we're on air. However, whenever you cut a show up, there's a separate license for that music that you also have to have. So we don't have the podcast licensing, so we're trying to make it easier for those who are producing or cutting shows by using royalty for your music. So down as short as we can get it so it can be removed before it goes on the podcast.
Yes. And so, but if you want to listen to it, you can go to YouTube or any of the John Denvers and you can hear it. It's called Inch by Inch. And, you know, you can celebrate it and you can play it on your own right before during the commercials. And I'll know you're listening to John Denver. So.
Prepping yourself.
If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And we are celebrating Earth Day today. I'd like to also say happy Passover to our listeners that are celebrating today. But Earth Day and April, it's a good time to have Tina McIntyre. She is the University of Florida Extension Agent for Florida Friendly Landscaping in Seminole County at the Seminole County IFAS Extension. Good morning, Tina. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great.
We are getting all ready to go out to Sanford. What are we celebrating today?
We are celebrating spring and Earth Day and all things water conservation with our WaterWise events.
Well, so Florida has all the lakes. It has all the oceans surrounding it. It's a peninsula. So why do we need to conserve water here in Florida?
That's a great question. Well, you know, most of our water that we use for drinking is actually from the aquifer. And, you know, so it's not really like the lakes and the oceans. It actually is below our feet in the underground cave that's filled with fresh water. And that is a finite resource. There's only so much fresh water in that underground cave, the aquifer. And so, you know, we're all using it. And as we grow, with 1,000 people moving to Florida every day, we want to be responsible stewards of that water.
And that's important because what I tell people is that we're not running out of water with the water cycle when it goes up into the air and comes back down again. We have plenty of water around the world. We just don't have cheap, potable water.
That's right. And as we pave more spaces, like more concrete, more roofs, more parking lots, that's less infiltration going down into that aquifer as well.
Yeah, I think that's one of the reasons why we don't have our afternoon summer rains anymore. And we just don't have it going up in the air. So how is the city of Sanford and the University of Florida, what are they doing to celebrate April Water Conservation Month?
Yeah, so we've been doing this for several years now, and so happy to have you as a part of it, and just a wonderful series of events where we have these wonderful webinars where people can learn about these different topics like rain barrels and trees and pollinators and reclaimed water. And then we pair it up with some great giveaways that are given away today. So all those winners have been selected, but we do a big event today as well. So we have all kinds of giveaways like t-shirts and bird feeders. We have Lowe's that donated a grill, an outdoor grill, so get outside and enjoy that grill, right, whoever wins it. And then they're also donating a low-flush, low-flow toilet, so a brand-new toilet that doesn't use a lot of water to flush.
And the technology has gotten so good. It used to be, you know, 15, 20 years ago, those low-flush toilets, they kind of sometimes worked and sometimes didn't. But nowadays, they are really, really a good way to save water.
They're fantastic. Yeah, I have two in my house, and I really enjoy them. They actually, I feel like, are more efficient. Like I know at my work, we have the older toilets. They haven't updated yet, although they are working on that. And, you know, they just take so long to flush and refill. And so the new ones tend to be really efficient as well in terms of, like, just saving time and all that.
That's true. So now when people move to Florida, they think our soil, you call this dirt, and they really are quite insulting. And so is our soil terrible? What's wrong with our soil?
Yeah, so I'm in a, hopefully in a year and a half, I'll be finishing with my PhD in soil and water sciences. And so I've learned so much about soils. And the interesting thing is that, yeah, it is alive. So it's not dirt or dust or anything like that. It is soil. It's very much alive. And here in Florida, although it has quite a bit of sand, there are so many, you know, good things about our Florida soils. So, you know, we want to have an idea of what's going on in our soil. So we want to look at our soil, feel, touch our soil, right? Squeeze it in your hand and see, is it going, you know, just like beach sand, totally out? Or is there organic matter in there that's keeping it all together? And you want to think about what you want to grow in that soil. So is it, you know, vegetables? Then maybe you do want to do a raised bed because they're going to need more nutrients to produce those nice big zucchinis and things. Where if we're doing Florida-friendly landscaping, we can select Florida-friendly plants or native plants that grow fantastic in those native soils.
I think that's really important because we can tell you, you know, University of Florida can say how to change the pH and how to add organic material, but it doesn't stay that way. We have to keep doing it year after year to keep it at that level. And why not just find a plant that will grow wonderfully, beautifully, bloom in the sand or the soil that you have?
I love that. You know, that's what I do in my landscape. And instead of buying more lime or, you know, trying to buy more organic compost or whatever it is, I can go to the Springs on a Saturday and enjoy the day, right?
Right.
And just saving that time and saving that money and really watching your plants thrive. That's the beauty of it is, you know, you're not going to be nursing along this plant that doesn't truly want to be where it is.
Right. Exactly. It doesn't. It's not who it is.
So that's right.
I agree with that. So what's the best way to find out what kind of soil you have and what to do with it?
Yeah. So again, even just going out there, digging a little hole, touching the soil, rubbing it between your fingers, does it feel like the sand at the beach, right? And so that's going to tell you how much sand you have. Use your intuition. But we also have our soil testing. So we have our soil test that we can do at our office. It's a $2 pH test. pH is going to tell you how acidic or basic or alkaline your soil is. And so if you have really acidic soil, then, you know, it might not flower and fruit very well if you're trying to grow other, you know, things that don't like it acidic, and vice versa with that basic level of the pH scale. So pH is critical, but we also can help you get that soil up to the University of Florida to do a full soil test where you're getting tested for micronutrients, macronutrients, even organic matter, so that you better understand, you know, what kind of nutrients exist. And a lot of times with those soil tests, we see high levels of phosphorus. So if you're buying a phosphorus fertilizer and you already have phosphorus, you're kind of wasting your money. So that $10 soil test is really worth it when it comes to fertilization.
Because that's the big news, I think, over the last 2 to 3 years is that you don't always have to fertilize your lawn. It might have enough nutrition in it for what you want to do, right?
That's right. Especially if you're leaving those grass clippings on the lawn, if you're using your leaves and your landscape bed as a natural mulch. And, you know, just doing those Florida-friendly recycle yard waste practices, all of that is very sustainable. So it goes back into that system that is your landscape. I always get so astonished. I have neighbors that rake all of the leaves and leave completely bare soil. And I'm like, why are you doing that? And not even using just store-bought mulch. And
right.
It's crazy to me because if you look at nature and the forest, it naturally will leave those leaves for the roots to kind of get blanketed in.
That is really, really good advice. So today the city of Sanford is partnering with the University of Florida. What time and where are these events going on?
Well, just after this interview, I'm actually headed there. So we're at the city of, the Lowe's in Sanford. So we're going to be there from 9:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. And we have so many great things going on. We have our team of master gardeners with all their great information. Of course, you will be there. We'll have our spin the wheel game where people can win T-shirts and all kinds of great things and bird feeders, tote bags, et cetera. And like I said, we're going to be raffling off that grill and low flush toilet from Lowe's. So, you know, we're just going to have such a great time celebrating the environment, and I really hope people can come out.
That will be lovely. It will be lots of fun. I'll be there, and I will be doing landscape designs for people who would like it and also helping them select plants. They can bring photographs. Now, you do have webinars and classes online that people can attend. So tell us a little bit about that.
We do. I love doing webinars. Of course, we offer in-person classes, and we have one coming up on Tuesday. But we really enjoy these webinars because they're extremely well attended. So our Trees and Pollinators workshop on Thursday had over 115 people. So it's an accessible way to get to people, and everyone's welcome regardless of their location, race, gender, you know, other parameters. We can welcome everyone within that virtual space, and we can deliver that information if it's on trees, rain barrels, whatever it is, you know, that they're getting that high quality information.
So what is the link for finding out more about webinars and Seminole County Extension programs?
Yeah, so really the best way to find us is on our Eventbrite page. So we have the UF IFAS Extension in Seminole County Eventbrite, and all of our classes are always listed on there. And then, of course, we also have our Facebook page, which has, you know, different promotional events and posts and information, even just educational information we post on there. So definitely find us on those two platforms. We're on a couple others, but those are the two main ones.
Wonderful. Mike in Venice says he enjoys your classes. He says you're a wonderful teacher. And I said, I
Yay.
Know. All right, Tina, thank you so much. I'll see you in a little bit. And I do appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, hon, take care. And that's Tina McIntyre with Seminole County Extension. She is the Florida-friendly landscaping agent there, and she does a fabulous job partnering. The city of Sanford does a fabulous job of helping to educate on water conservation.
And she makes it sound so much easier, like it's the big, scary water conservation. Put on the brakes. But yes, she makes it sound so much, you know, hey, I could actually do this.
And it's important. I mean, as water gets more expensive, you know, we need to understand where we fall into it. And by having a Florida-friendly landscape yard, you can still have turf. You can have the flowers you want. You just have to understand what you're gardening in, what kind of site conditions you have. And the Florida-friendly landscaping program is a great way to determine that. So we do appreciate her. So thank you, Tina, very much for coming out. Thank you to the city of Sanford and the Public Works Department for promoting Earth Day and providing all the education availability for the Seminole County University of Florida IFAS Extension Office. So we do appreciate it. Thank you, Tina. And so we're going to be back with your gardening questions now. Brad, I'm going to get to you. Thank you for hanging on. We're going to talk about the birds and the bees and the male flower and the female flower and how to pollinate.
Whoa, take it down a notch.
If you're Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. You're in the final half hour of Better Lawns and Gardens. You can call Lizzie and with your gardening question, 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. And let's get to Brad. And so Brad in Gainesville says, I have an indoor hydro garden and I want to grow cherry tomatoes. Once the plants flower, it says I need to manually pollinate them. How do I do that? And so, Brad, that's a great question. And so the good news is that cherry tomatoes, or tomatoes in general, are perfect flowers. That means they're both male and female at the same time. So they need to be hand-pollinated. You can take a little paintbrush, and it doesn't need to be a big one, just one that is very fine, and you just go from flower to flower. You can just dab your brush into one flower, then go to the next one and dab that one, and just go around and dab all of your flowers on your cherry tomatoes. Now, what's going to happen is it's within 4 weeks, you're going to start to get fruit growing, and within 50 to 60 days, it should start to ripen for you. So that is a good thing. So it's better than humans who have to wait 9 months. You know, it's only 4 weeks. And so that it's an easy way to do it. So just take a little paintbrush and then pollinate each of the flowers with the same kind of anther pollen there. So get that on the little end of the paintbrush and go from flower to flower. Really easy to do. And so Lizzie, oh, there you go. So that's Colette in Winter Haven. I'll let Lizzie answer you, Colette, on this. So 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680. So now, Linda, in Zone 8B, I am going to text you, and I'll give you that information. So thank you very much. She emailed or texted last week. So now, Bill in Orlando says, what's a good potting mix for Italian cypresses? Well, you can go to the store, and what you want is a high-quality one. So you can go and the Miracle-Gro tree and shrub potting mix. You can do that. You can do the Fair Farm potting soils. You can do any of the good quality potting soils. You want to make sure for Italian cypress, you don't get the one that's moisture retention. Italian cypresses do not need to have a lot of moisture. They're very drought tolerant. And so watering them, you'll need to water them twice a week in a pot, but you don't need them to stay wet. Okay, so Italian cypresses like it dry. Any of the good high-quality potting mixes will be just fine. All right, so 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. So Lynn in Orlando said, let me know about the fire bushes. Cut them back? Yes, Lynn, you can cut them back. Cut them back by a third of the height, third of the density, and they will be just fine, and they will just flush right back out again. And in fact, they bloom all year round. So once they have a really good flush, you can keep cutting them back and let them flush out again so you can keep them at the height that you need them to do it. So Ken and Sue in Winter Haven have a five-year-old Tibuchina, and some of the roots at the base are exposed. Should we put soil over the roots, or are they okay this way? It's toppled over in two landscapes or in two hurricanes. So what I would suggest is that you stake it for this year, for the hurricane season this year, Ken and Sue, so that it stays upright and doesn't topple over anymore. But I would look at the roots. You want to be able to see the flare at the bottom of the shrub or tree. Okay, you want to see a flare. It needs to curve out. Now, if there's roots there at the top, they should be okay. You can go ahead and put mulch over it, and that should be just fine. But you don't want to see your tree or shrub going straight down into the ground. That means it's planted too deep. All right, let's go to Walter, the Space Ghost, with an avocado update. Good morning, Walter. How are you?
Good morning, Teresa. Thank you for everything that you do. You're a blessing for all of our... I've been in this business for a very long time, but I am not your level. Anyway, when the avocado blew over during Milton, mm-hmm. poor Jose was laying down in the yard. And I think I told you before that it was not, we have, you know, sandy soil over here in, mm-hmm. in Cocoa, and it wasn't established, even though it had been there for 20 years.
Right.
So when it fell over during the storm, he couldn't do anything with it. He cut everything off. And so instead of it being a 20-foot tall tree, it was an 8-foot tall tree.
Right.
And I went down and I got stuff to from one of my friends on the river, and he has an avocado orchard, and I cut off a cutting. And in any event, the whole point was, once we replanted the big tree, 8 foot tall, and then rearranged the root structure so that it was down below where it needed to be.
Right.
And I covered it up during all the coldness during the winter months, because he's always working, and it needs it. In any event, it needed to be done, and it is now thriving. And I wanted to point out to you that it did not use. We took my cutting that I got from my friend on the river, and he gave it to his sister, and now his sister has a wonderful tree.
Wonderful.
And that was pretty much it. And I don't know, was he tell you how I always thought it was a somewhat responsible? To me, it sounded like somewhat responsible.
There you go. Well, that is great, Walter. I am so glad you're helping out your neighbors and you're promoting avocados. They're really easy to grow here in Florida. So I do appreciate it. Thank you so much. You have a great Easter, Walter.
And God bless you and all your people.
Thank you so much, Walter. I appreciate it. He is so helpful. I love neighbors like that.
Oh, and I love the fact that, you know, he keeps us updated on it. And the fact that that avocado and that save is continuing to grow.
There you go. Way to go. Way to grow, Walter. We're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens. If it's Saturday morning, this is where you are. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins. If you have a gardening question, we still have time. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text me 23680. Let's go to Jerry in Citrus County. Good morning, Jerry. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. I would like to know the differences of the cedars. Is a southern red cedar and an eastern red cedar?
Okay.
Is there an advantage to one over the other?
Okay, so the red cedar is a Juniperus virginiana, and then we have one that's also called Juniperus virginiana variety silicola. So that's the eastern red cedar and the southern red cedar. So as with a lot of plants, the more the plant has been around, the longer it's been around, the more places it is located in, they have different names. So southeastern botanists, some of them think that the Juniperus virginiana, sometimes called the eastern red cedar, and the Juniperus virginiana silicola, the southern red cedar, are the same plant, that are different plants. But Jerry, in 1986, botanists named Robert Adams, he did a detailed comparison of the morphology of the cedars and the chemistry, and both of them were the same. There's no difference. So it is just a name, common name situation, but both plants are really good for windbreaks. They're great for screening and privacy. They're great for wildlife. They even take salt water, so they're good for the coastlines. But there is basically no scientific or genetic difference between the Juniperus virginiana, the eastern red cedar, and the Juniperus virginiana variety silicola, the southern red cedar.
So I could just call them one name then.
That's
red cedars.
Just call them Fred. Okay? And just say southern red cedars. You know, you don't need... Now, there is a difference between western cedars, red cedars, and the eastern red cedars. But between the southern and the eastern, there is no difference.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you very much, Teresa.
You're welcome, Jerry. I appreciate you listening to the show. Thank you so much. Happy Easter.
And you're right about the windbreaking, because whenever my dad had our house built in the 70s, mid-70s, he circled our property and each one of our driveways, even going down the driveways, with cedar trees. And they were little, what do you call it? Are they little spruces?
Like saplings.
Saplings, there you go.
Yes.
And they were the red cedars, but we always just call them cedar trees.
Yes.
And and to this day, thank you, dear Jesus. We've had tornadoes come through. We've had hurricanes, basically category 5. Like, by the time you get to this, maybe a 4. Uh-huh. But yeah, and it has broke the wind every time, thank you, God. But seriously, so yeah,
the
cedar trees are amazing.
They are, and they're so beautiful, and I love the smell of cedar.
Me
and
too.
So I do. There's so many nice cedar trees out there. So it doesn't matter. Just, you know, the longer that, you know, plants have been around, flowers have been around, or like I said, in the more locations that it grows in, there's going to be different common names. Like in Patience here, they are called impatience. But in England, they're called Busy Lizzies. And so, you know, if you went and asked for impatience in the British greenhouse or the nursery, they would go, what? Huh? No. So it's Busy Lizzies.
And that's funny. It's funny how you go to the different countries and it's, yeah.
They're definitely named after you, Busy Lizzie.
Yeah, I'm very busy, yes.
1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. Sign up for our newsletter, In Your Backyard, and you can go to my website, she-consulting.com. You can also go there and ask me questions. You can go to betterlawns.com and listen to the show and get questions answered there too as well. We are going to have a wonderful spring. It's just going to be great. Oh, and did I tell you, Lizzie?
No.
The La Nina is over. We are totally out of La Nina. They announced it this week.
What?
So now, that is good news. Now our weather's going to be great for the summer. They have predicted the storms, mm-hmm. but we're all ready for them. We're going to be just fine. I just know it this year.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is that, you know, if you're new here to Central Florida, go ahead and start maybe buying. I'm not saying this is going to be a bad season, but this is how you prep for hurricane season. We're in April, so why not each week buy a case of water, depending on the number of people that you have in your house or whatnot during your hurricane, and then just rotate that water out once you reach that number. And then use it throughout the year, and you know, get a few canned goods that you would eat normally, but kind of set them aside for that. So, because I'm telling you, when a hurricane, when they say one's on its way and it's pretty close to us, then you will not find
nothing. Shelf will be empty. Be empty.
So start now.
That's a good thing. Also, to get your trees inspected now, contact a certified arborist to come out and look at them, and do it now, because you're not going to be able to get them when we have a storm approaching, and it's going to be more expensive. You know, like fixing your air conditioner in the summer. It's more expensive than doing it in the wintertime. So this is the right time of the year to go ahead and get your trees inspected and do everything you need to do to the house, check your roof, and then that way you know what's going on. So in April, what can you be planting this time of the year? This is so, so wonderful, all the different plants we can plant this year. This time of the year, you can be going through with the flowers. Let me go through the flowers, because I went through the vegetables a couple of weeks ago. African daisies, they take heat, full sun, and they're drought tolerant. So that's really wonderful. Ageratums, and then begonias are wonderful. I saw the most beautiful Rex begonias with spots on it, and it's just doing beautifully. So I love different types of begonias. Black Eyed Susans are doing well right now. Black Blue Days, Cat Whiskers, Celosia Cleomys. Cleomys are doing well. My friend Allison, she has beautiful Cleomys blooming right now. And they're pass-along plants. So you can give somebody seeds and they will grow. And you just share the joy that way. Coreopsis, our state wildflower. And then also Gazinias and Gaillardias. Take the heat. Burgundy butterflies love them. Goldenrod and Joseph's coat. Lantana. Oh, wait till you see my landscape malpractice this next month. Ooh, it is all about lantana. Okay. Oh, my goodness. Licorice plants. Licorice plants are ground covers, or they're great for as spillers in your containers. Wonderful. They're gray leaves. They look beautiful. And it's just a wonderful plant. Marigolds. This is the time for summertime, bringing up marigolds and Mexican sunflowers. Butterflies love Tithonia, which is Mexican sunflowers. They're wonderful, and they're a vine. They're the color of, you know how Crayola had the orange-red crayon, and then they had the red-orange crayon?
Yes.
And you can see the difference in them, right?
Yes.
Well, Tithonias are red-orange, and they look amazing. They're wonderful. Million bells, calibacoas, and moonflowers, Nicotiana, and pentas. The red pentas are doing beautifully right now. I'm kind of partial to the ones without the white throat. The red pentas without the white throat, they're the original ones. And they last longer, they get bigger, they're bushier, and they're so much better. Periwinkles and porterweed and portulaca and purslane. And then salvias, sunflowers, Terrinias, little clown faces. Have you ever seen Terrinias?
Yes, I have.
They've got the pink cheeks.
Yes.
And then you can kind of open them. They're so cute.
Yes.
And zinnias. So zinnias are a wonderful plant for containers, for butterfly gardens, and for your yard. They do wonderful in containers too as well. So let me go ahead and say I'm going to be at Lowe's from 10 o'clock until 12, or 10 o'clock until 12, and come out, bring your shower head. You can get a new shower head exchanged. And then there's lots of giveaways and prizes to win. And then also, too, I will help you select plants for your garden specifically. And then do some designs. If you need designs done, bring me a photograph of your yard or pictures on your camera. I'll be happy to do that. But come out to the Lowe's on 1792. And then you'll get City of Sanford's partnering with the Seminole County IFAS Extension. And so lots of good things going on. So I love it.
Yes, definitely. I
want to say thank you to Tina McIntyre for coming on today. Mm-hmm. She is wonderful. Thank you, Lizzie, for everything you do.
Thank you.
To all our listeners, Mike and Jerry and Walter, and then also Linda. I mean, we have so many Lindas.
Yes. But crazy we do. Yeah, we have quite a few listeners named Linda, yes.
We do. And Eileen, just say hi out there, to shout out to Eileen.
Yes.
So if you're in, no matter where you are in Florida, you can listen to the show. Even if you live out of state, we have a lot of listeners all over the world listening mm-hmm. to Better Lawns and Gardens.
Yes.
So we want to say hi to them, Singapore, mm-hmm. Hong Kong, and then also Canada. And so we're really glad.
Australia, too.
Mm-hmm. And Texas. A lot of people listen to us in Texas, so we want to say big shout out to Texas.
You know, they say sharing is caring, so share us.
Yeah, please do share us and go on Facebook page and like us. We are going to have a wonderful spring. We want to say happy Passover to all our listeners. And then Easter's coming up. Let me just tell you, you want your Easter lilies to last longer? Cut off the anther. Cut off the pollen. Your Easter lilies will last a lot longer, and then you can plant them outside, and I'll tell you what to do with that next week. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.